lying down in the melting snow. Ah, there were times we regretted the summer palaces on the slopes, the terraces, and the silken girls bringing sherbet. And then the camel men cursing and grumbling and running away and wanting their liquor and women, and the night fires going out and the lack of shelters, and the cities hostile, and the towns unfriendly, and the villages dirty and charging high prices. A hard time we had of it. At the end, we preferred to travel all night, sleeping in snatches with the voices singing in our ears saying that this was all folly. Then, at dawn, we came down to a temperate valley, wet below the snow line, smelling of vegetation, with a running stream and a water mill beating the darkness, and three trees on the low sky, and an old white horse galloped away in the meadow. And then we came to a tavern with vine leaves over the lintel, six hands at an open door dicing for pieces of silver, and feet kicking the empty wineskins. But there was no information, and so we continued and arrived at evening, not a moment too soon, finding the place. It was, you may say, satisfactory. All this was a long time ago. I remember, and I would do it again, but set down this. Were we led all that way for birth or death? There was birth, certainly. We had evidence and no doubt. I had seen birth and death, but had thought they were different. This birth was hard and bitter agony for us, like death, our death. We returned to our places, to these kingdoms, but no longer at ease here in the old dispensation with an alien people clutching their gods. I should be glad of another death. So I read this poem by T.S. Eliot almost as often on Christmas Eve as I read the traditional passages about Jesus' birth, because it evokes for me all the ways that the child of Christmas comes into the world year after year and day after day as a troubling savior. And the last lines of the poem may seem so dark. Did we come for birth or death, asks the Magi. I should be glad of another death. Something is being born on Christmas Eve and something is dying. Jesus is born, of course, once again, again and again. And what I hope is dying year after year are the many worn out and destructive ideas about Jesus and what his life means. Over and over again, this child of Christmas who became Christ the Savior, who became the founder of a great world religion, has shattered people's expectations of who he was and what he is supposed to be in our lives. And from the time of the first generation of followers following his death, people have been expecting his imminent return along with the end of this world. And still there are many who wait for a literal return to fulfill the ways that they understand Jesus. And from the time of the church fathers in the early centuries after his death, theologians have engaged in their metaphysical dances on the heads of pins, and still we cannot agree on whether or how Jesus isn't or is God, or Jesus is alive in the world or dead. And from the time of the Protestant Reformation that we celebrated this year, 500 years, exclusionary preachers have argued that there's only one way to know Jesus as a saving presence in your life. And that salvation only comes from the ways that they believe in him. So still, we draw these lines in the sand that some people build into walls, and we try to understand what this birth means. So when this church community gathers at the manger on Christmas Eve, we set aside dying dogmas, and we celebrate instead a wondrous birth. We celebrate a birth that has had a message for all people and for all time. In the company of this world's shepherds, the dirty and the downtrodden, and the company of this world's kings, the rich and the powerful, we proclaim that the prophets whose lives have been testaments to all people speak to everyone, and that everybody can own them. There is no salvation in any prophet's message unless it is a salvation for all humanity. That's what we stand for. So just as Jesus' birth defied expectations about where and how a great religious leader should be born, just as his ministry defied the expectations of his followers regarding who he was supposed to be to them and to the Hebrew people living under oppression, just as impact on people's lives has happened over and over again outside of the dogmatic boundaries of church pronouncements, so it is today that a saving message from this man's life defies the limited defining expectations of Christian church establishments. And we celebrate that tonight. I ask you to join me in the spirit of prayer. Spirit of all life, spirit that lives in all people, our prayer tonight is that Jesus will be born this Christmas Eve, born again and born again and again in the hearts of all people who are drawn to his example and who love his message. We know that he is not the child of any sect or denomination or dogma, but instead he is a light to the world, a teacher who challenges us to ask the hardest questions, to take on the tasks of salvation for all humanity, to make it possible that Jesus may be born in us. We ask for the patience, for the courage, and the compassion to make that possible, to live up to his example as we enter into this Christmas day of celebration and reflection. May it be so.